1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's read from verse 21. We'll read to verse 23. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. One more. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. As we're working our way through 1 Corinthians in Sunday school, and as I'm studying that passage and related passages, it strikes me how many times the Apostle Paul says that simple phrase at the beginning of verse 23 there, we preach Christ. And it reminds us that as we learn and move our way through the Bible, a lot of us now, we're at the beginning of a new year, and we've got read your Bible through in a year programs out on the table there. Feel free. I'm assuming there's still some there. Be nice if there wasn't, but yes, there are. Go ahead and take that, and we'll be doing that. And as we just generally, as we study through the Word of God, we can get sidetracked, not necessarily in some bad thing. I mean, there's plenty of bad things to get sidetracked in, and we've been talking about some of that in our Sunday school lessons, and the wisdom of this world and all the poor, weak, and beggarly stuff that it has to offer, and not to trade your wealth in Christ for that stuff, no matter how enticing it may seem to your flesh. But there's also some good things that we can get kind of a warped idea about. Doctrines. We discuss and debate and talk about things in the Bible, things like the deity of Christ and the incarnation and the resurrection and the mystery and grace and all of these amazing Bible doctrines. But again, what strikes me as I read through Paul is over and over again, he says, we preach Christ. We preach Christ. Here he says, we preach Christ, in verse 23 again, crucified. We preach Christ crucified. What does that mean? Come over to just over to chapter 15 in 1 Corinthians. And let's talk about this first. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Someone asked me years ago, an old childhood friend of mine's father. I was at a wedding. I hadn't seen my buddy in years and years, and his dad was there. We used to know each other back in the day. And he says, so I hear you're a preacher now. And I says, yeah. He says, what do you guys preach? I said, we preach Christ and Him crucified. He said, yeah, I know, but what do you preach? So I had the chance to tell him about Christ and Him crucified in a way that he had never heard it before, the way the Bible teaches it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Moreover, brethren, Paul writes, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So Paul says here, the first thing that I brought to you, what do you guys preach? What do you teach? I'm not going to, if a believer asks you that, fine, hand them the doctrinal statement of this church. If an unbeliever asks you that, don't bog them down with all of that. We preach Christ, that's what we preach. It's not, what do you preach? It's who? Who do you preach? And that's where you, Paul says, I delivered unto you first of all. We just saw in Sunday school this morning that when Paul came into these Corinthians, he says, I made up my mind not to know anything when I came into you but this, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's all I had to bring to you, because that's all you could handle as unsaved people when I first came into Corinth. Don't get bogged down with all of these, you know, apologetics and all the rest. It's all fine. It's interesting stuff. And if you really feel, you know, if you want to have fun with somebody, I guess, you know, you can argue about whether a universal flood actually happened and all the evidence for it, and that the earth is only 6,000 years old and evolution is a crock and all the rest. You can have all kind of good conversations like that. But you know what? We preach Christ. We preach Christ. Our message, our life, our gospel, the gospel whereby we are saved, It doesn't reside in this whole giant body of doctrine and understanding. It resides in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in Him. He is our focus. And that doctrine is absolutely necessary and important and thrilling and wonderful. But sometimes it's so thrilling and wonderful that it can take our mind off Christ, the person in whom is our life. Who is our life? Jesus Christ died for your sins. What does that mean? Well, number one, it means you have sins. Right? You know you do. I don't have to spend too much time convincing you of that. You've done things wrong in your life. Maybe you think you've done horrible, awful, unforgivable things. Maybe you think you haven't been so bad. Doesn't matter. You've got sin, and you know that. Let's start there. That sin that you have, that wrong that you did, knowing that it was wrong, and you did it anyway, and you know it, that was a violation of the holiness of God when you did that. And that violation of the holiness of God and of the righteousness of God, that needs to be dealt with. That sin that you committed, you say, oh, that was years ago. What about the one you did yesterday? The one you did this morning? The one you did the day before? The thousand that you did the day before? You understand that sin is not just an act. Every thought, ungodly thought, it's being marked, it's being checked, and it will be remembered. So what do you do? Because the way that that sin gets dealt with is by death. You say, okay, fine, we're all going to die. Well, some of us are going to die more than once. Because that reckoning, that day of reckoning, doesn't come until after you're dead. You've already died the once, and you're going to stand before God, and there's going to be a penalty passed on you, and that judgment is going to be death. And the Bible talks about the lake of fire, an eternal place of burning and torment, eternal judgment. You know who goes there? We all know who goes there. John Wayne Gacy goes there. Hitler goes there. A few others. Sinners go there. Back to our first point about you. So what do I do about that? You're on your way to hell. And no matter how many good works you do now, moving forward from this point on, you can swear right now. This is we're in the new year. I'm going to turn over a new leaf for the rest of my life. Well, good. Do that. It's not going to keep you out of hell. You're going to hell anyway. Thank God that's not the end of the message. Because we preach Christ. Christ died. 1 Corinthians 15:3 again. I delivered unto you first of all. This is what you need to get first. That which Paul also received. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. The penalty for sin is death. Christ died. Why did he die? He died to pay your penalty. He died to pay for your sins. Christ died for your sins. We preach Christ and him crucified. Yeah. What else you got? We got nothing else. Nothing else will do. Nothing else will live for you. And nothing else will deliver you from death. Jesus Christ and him crucified. He died for your sins. Say, good, okay, fine. Sounds good. What do I need to do? Just believe it. Just believe it. That's all you need to do. Don't I need to lead a good life? Well, the Lord wants you to lead a good life. Is that good life going to get you into heaven? We've already talked about that. No. It's your faith. It's your faith in what God says. It's your faith in this message. Christ died for your sins. So we preach Christ. We preach Christ, Paul says, crucified. We're here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look just down in verse 12. 1 Corinthians 15, 12. Now, if Christ be preached, that's what we're talking about. We preach Christ. If Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say there are some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is vain also. So Christ is preached that he rose from the dead. So when the Lord Jesus Christ died for your sins and for mine, the thing about that death, that he died there with all of your sin on him. You know, the only human being who ever lived whose sins he didn't take, his own. He had none. He had no sin. And because he had no sin, death, the book of Acts says, it was impossible for death to hold him. And he rose again. That man who died for your sins is alive today. He's alive. He's alive in a body. And he's in glory at the right hand of the Father, just as alive as you or me and more. The Lord Jesus Christ, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead. Number one, Paul says, how come some of you are saying that there is no resurrection? These Corinthians are getting screwy in their doctrine, and they start denying fundamental things like the resurrection, like Christ's death for their sins, like Christ crucified. But you know, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, here's my question to you. How can you not believe? If Christ rose from the dead, say, yeah, I know that. Give me something else. Christ rose from the dead. You're never going to get past that if you don't get that. The man rose from the dead. And yet, people out there won't believe. They believe that he rose from the dead. Some people just deny it. That's fine. Okay, go your way. A lot of other people believe that he rose from the dead and aren't saved. You know why? Because they're believing what their church teaches them and what their parents teach them, what their grandparents teach them, everything but what God says. We preach Christ. We preach Christ crucified. We preach Christ risen, resurrected. Now, you see what Paul says there in verse 14? And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is also vain. You know, there is a great doctrine of the resurrection, tremendous body of truth that affects so many things. The Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead. That sinless Son of God rose from the dead. We can talk about that until he comes to take us home. Then there's our resurrection. And all of the glory that has, that we have to look forward to in that. Then there's the resurrection power that the Lord has for each and every one of us as we live now before we die. As we walk through this Christian life. But you see what Paul says here? It's not just a bunch of doctrines. If Christ didn't rise, it's all vain. If it wasn't him, if it didn't happen in him, if he's not the one, if he's not the focus, if he's not the one that this power centers in, then it doesn't matter. The resurrection, people get a hold, a little bit of a fingertip grasp on this grace thing. And we hear about the resurrection, and we hear about you're crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, you're alive. So then you go, okay, it's resurrection life. So all I have to do now is I have to believe that really hard. I believe that I'm dead with Christ. I believe that I'm alive with him, and you feel great for 10 seconds. And then, what else you got? See, it's not just a structure of information. And it's not your mental assent. And it's not you getting yourself all worked up about it. And it's not about climbing some ladder of philosophical, spiritual, ethereal realities. It's about Christ. We preach Christ. That power you're looking for is not in a system. Even if the doctrine is true, we can get off course and get caught up in this idea that if I just get this doctrinal thing worked out just right, just get all the gears to mesh and to line up, then it'll start working for me. It's not that. It's not about that. It's about Christ. The power you're looking for is in a person. You want to get to know something? Get to know Him. Then let's talk about all the wonderful things that He's done for us. Get to know Him. You got a goal for 2016? Let me suggest one for us all. Get to know Him like you've never known Him before. Get to know the one whom we preach. Look in Galatians chapter 1. You know, I'm up here right now and I am just as happy and excited and joyful as I can be. And I am well aware of the fact that my face doesn't show it. I think somebody asked Ringo Starr once, "How come you always look so sad?" And Ringo said, "I'm not really miserable. It's just me face." So don't worry about me. I'm doing fine. Galatians chapter 1, verse 16, verse 15. But Galatians 1:15, "When it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood." So Paul was separated from his mother's womb. And we can discuss what that's talking about, if that's talking about his literal birth or getting out of his former religion or whatever it is. But you know what we'd be doing if we did all of that? We'd lose the point. Why was he separated from his mother's womb and then called by God's grace to reveal God's Son in Paul? Why? That he might preach Him. Not about Him, but preach Him. Preach Him among the heathen. So now, Paul, he goes on, he says, "Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood," and he spends this whole passage talking about how this gospel, this we preach Christ, this Christ that Paul preached, was not something that he got from anybody that came before him. He didn't pick it up from Peter and from the other apostles. He got it by direct revelation of Jesus Christ, and it was different than what was being preached before. And he says, "God called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me." You know, we all know the verse. We're talking about knowing Christ and preaching Christ and staying focused on Christ. So if you're gonna get to know Christ, we all understand that we used to know Christ after the flesh, Paul says. But henceforth know we Him no more after the flesh. So if I can't get to know Christ in the days of His flesh, out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, if that's not where to go to get to know Christ, how do I know Him? Paul says, God's grace called me for a purpose to reveal His Son in me. How do you know Christ? You know Him by doing what Paul says. Those things that you've learned and received and heard and seen in Him, in Paul, do those things. Follow those things, and you'll know the Lord Jesus Christ. He's revealed today through the Apostle Paul. Come over to Romans chapter 16. It's a very simple matter to understand that the Lord Jesus Christ didn't stop speaking when he ascended from the Mount of Olives. He spoke again through the Apostle Paul. Romans chapter 16, verse 25, "Now, to him that is of power to establish you, according to my gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God made known to all nations." Those heathen that he was talking about in Galatians 1, that he was sent to preach to. "For the obedience of faith, to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen." Paul says that God is able to establish you. How is God able to establish you? Number one, through what Paul calls my gospel. You see, he doesn't say our gospel. He doesn't say mine and Peter's gospel. He says my gospel, and he says that over and over again. Paul received a message, an exclusive message. Look what he says. "According to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ," and that's why we're here, Christ is being preached. But it's the preaching of Jesus. How do we preach Christ? When we preach Christ, how do we preach him? We preach him according to the revelation of the mystery. What does that mean? "Which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest." Now, you know what? One thing you know about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, if you know those books and your Bible at all, is that all through the Lord's earthly ministry, he was fulfilling prophecy. Prophecy after prophecy after prophecy in the Old Testament prophets all pointed to him. And when he came, he started fulfilling those prophecies, hundreds of them. And Paul says, that's not how we know him or preach him today. We preach him according to this mystery. Not all of the things that were spoken about Christ from the foundation of the world, but the things that were kept hid, secret. God never told anyone about what he would do with and through Jesus Christ. Today, among the heathen, hi, heathen. Me and you. Now, again, we're here in this verse because Paul talks about the preaching of Jesus Christ. And again, you and I, we can get caught up in the revelation of the mystery. And we can talk about that, and there is so much to learn about that. It's all just amazing, wonderful stuff. But don't forget, we preach Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. It's him. It's about him. It all has to center in him. He is the wisdom and power of God. The wisdom of God is not in this enormous, multifold, multi-tiered structure of a body of truth. It is, but it's all centered in him. You can know all of that stuff and miss him. You don't want to miss Christ. God's of power to establish you according to Paul's gospel, the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, and by the scriptures of the prophets. Look in Colossians chapter 1. We're just going through some verses here this morning. A few. Where the Apostle Paul makes this point in different contexts, in different ways, to different churches, different times. That theme remains the same. We preach Christ. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 23, we're going to have to jump into the middle there. Verse 23, if you continue in the faith, Paul writes to these Colossians, grounded and settled, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you. We saw that in Sunday school this morning too. What a nut Paul was. Rejoiced in his sufferings. How foolish. How foolish we need to be. Fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Not Christ in Israel, Christ in the Gentiles. Their hope of glory, your hope of glory, mine. It's Christ. It's Christ in you. Verse 28, whom we preach. Warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. So Paul, there he says it again in Romans chapter 16. He's talking about you being established. Here in Colossians, he's talking about you being perfected. And it's all by preaching him. Getting a hold of the person in whom all of this wonderful truth that you know resides. It's about Christ. Get to know him. Learn about him. Learn his mind. If you're not in the habit, if you're not in the continual habit of prayer, do it this year. Do it this year. Make this the year of prayer. Get to know this one whom we preach. Get to know him by his word. Get to know him personally. Develop, you say, Dave, we're a church. We're a room full of believers here. We all know the Lord. I know you do. Do you want to know him better? That's where the power is. It's where the power is, and it's where the joy is, and it's where the hope is, and it's everything that you're looking for. I'm telling you, it is not in you figuring out all the T's and the I's of all the doctrine and just getting that all straight so that it somehow it starts to work for you. That's not what it is. Get to know Christ. That's where your life is. It's his power. You walking by faith. Him doing the work. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. You know, this passage here, when I came to see, or as I came to see, and say when I came to see as if it all happened in a brilliant flash, as I was coming to see the truth of the word rightly divided, this passage here was a tremendous blessing and a horrible, horrible loss for me, but not in that order. I lost some things when I understood this passage, as you will do when you come to rightly divide the word of truth. We all understand what that means, to lose those things that you were holding on to that weren't yours to hold on to. And then once you let go of those things, you realize that what the Lord has given you is so much greater. How was I ever settling for this? This is one of those passages, it was for me. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. 2 Corinthians, sorry, chapter 1, verse 18. But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, it was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. And all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God. So when you get to know this person, the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached by the Apostle Paul, Paul says that every promise of God, there is no yea and nay with God. Do you know the entire Christian world lives their life praying and then going, well, maybe God's going to answer this prayer and maybe he's not. God always answers prayer. Sometimes he says no. What does Paul say here? All the promises of God. There is no yea and nay. It's yes. All the promises of God in Christ are yea and amen. There's no no. There's no maybe he'll do it, maybe he won't. Now, you need to understand what your promises are. And what you're relying in, what God has promised you and what he hasn't promised you. And what God hasn't promised you, you can pretty much flip a coin 50-50. Maybe it'll happen, maybe it won't. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about the word of God to you. The promises that he made to you. See, but even when you come to see that, then we bring in that old mentality with us. That I've got something that needs to happen here for the Lord, whatever it is. Whatever, how small or big, it doesn't matter. Maybe God's going to do it, maybe he's not. No, his power is always going to work. It's always going to work. You need to know what his promises are, what God is doing today. Get to know the Lord Jesus Christ through the Apostle Paul and dump that idea that, you know where that comes from? You know, Lord, heal my broken body. Sometimes I get healed, sometimes I don't. 50-50. Maybe God will heal me, maybe he won't. If he doesn't, he must have some other purpose. God never promised to heal your body. You might get healed, you might not. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about getting to know Christ as he is revealed today, knowing what God has promised you. And once you do, there is no yea and nay. There's no wondering. There's no going back and forth. Maybe God will do this and maybe he won't. I know what God's doing. My will needs to come into line with that. And then it's always yea. It's always yea. If my will is in line with his revealed will. Say, how do you know what the will of God is? Because I got a book. That's how I know. Then everything is yea. There are no maybes. There's no yes and no. It's all yea and nay. Now, what that means is that means that I got to give up a whole lot of stuff that I was clinging to before. Now, look, if my body gets healed, We've talked about this so many times, and we'll continue to talk about it. And I'll say it again. If I get sick and I get better, I'm praising God for it. He gets the glory for that. But not because he reached down into my body in answer to my prayer or anyone else's and pulled a disease out of me. The next guy who died from that same disease, what? He was less deserving? The house next door that got flattened by that tornado and that thing jumped right over my house. Answer to prayer. No, it wasn't. It's the grace of God that a giant worldwide tornado doesn't come in here and smash everything and take us all to hell. It's a grace of God that we live in a world where there's sunshine and there's rain and all of God's blessings. But that tornado didn't jump over my house because I prayed for it or because God has some more respect for me than the guy down the street who's the house guy who lost everything. It's 50-50. Could have hit my house just as easy. God is not yea and nay. What's going to happen when it does hit my house? I must have done something wrong. God must be mad at me. If God saved you the first time, and it doesn't happen the second time, don't let superstition get between you and knowing the Lord. You know what he's doing today, and you can stand in what he's doing today, and you can trust him. He's not yea and nay. He's only yea. God is always yes. You got to know what he's doing and get in line with it. Let's close out here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm telling you, it's just my face. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul writes here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, "Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. For I suppose that I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles." So Paul's got a problem with these Corinthians here again. They're hearing about another Jesus. Someone's preaching Jesus, but they're preaching another Jesus. And you notice that other Jesus is the one whom we, Paul and his company, have not preached. There's all kind of other Jesuses out there. There's Jesuses of the Muslim understanding, and there's Jesuses of the Buddhist understanding, and there's Jesuses of the New Age understanding. And there's Christ in your Bible. You understand it was the Lord Jesus Christ back in the Old Testament who appeared on that smoking, burning mountain to those people and told them to sacrifice bulls and goats. Well, you know, you don't know him that way anymore, right? We don't do that today. It was the Lord Jesus Christ who looked at that Gentile Syrophoenician woman and said, "It's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs." Paul says, I was separated from my mother's womb and sent to preach to those people, not to call them dogs. You know, the Lord said, whatever the scribes and Pharisees bid you to do, do it. You don't know Jesus that way, do you? You going to live your life according to the scribes and Pharisees? Another Jesus. Who is not another? He's just an understanding of Jesus wrongly dividing the word of truth. It was Jesus in the Old Testament telling them to do animal sacrifices. People get hung up on this because it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You understand that it was just as much him, it was that second person of the Trinity, all through from the beginning of your Bible, all of it. You don't sacrifice to bulls and goats. And we don't pray, forgive us our sins as we forgive others. We understand what forgiveness is today. And we don't tell people, if you don't forgive other people their sins, God won't forgive you. We know Christ through the Apostle Paul. We don't pray, thy kingdom come. We pray, thy church go. Because we know Christ through the Apostle Paul. And we don't wonder if Christ is going to be powerful for me today. Because we know him through the Apostle Paul. We preach Christ, the wisdom of God and the power of God. It's in a person. It's not in a system. No matter how good that system is, even how true the system is, it's not in a system. It's in Christ. Get to know him, and you'll be walking with the Lord.